We lead off our show with Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona. Larry, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being with us. Good to talk with you.
John, it's always awesome to be here with you. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about this congressional race in congressional district number 2. 538, Nate Silver's forecast for Arizona and congressional district 2. Says it's one of the most competitive seats in the country, plus Ann Kirkpatrick as the favorite in the race with a 93.6% chance of winning. The assessment is in line with the Hills Inside Elections with Nason Gonzalez, who puts the race at tilt Democrat, forecast in the Red Clear political column, puts it as a lean Democrat category. Where do you put it, Larry Bodine?
Well, it's a toss-up district. It always has been, John. And we know how reliable the polls can be. Looking back at the 2016 race, but at the moment, it appears that Ann Kirkpatrick has got the momentum. The organization, I just checked with and got them some statistics. They've made 300,000 telephone calls to voters. They've knocked on 95,000 doors. They have 6 offices, 14 organizers, and hundreds of volunteers. This is an organization that is really putting the pedal to the metal and is doing everything they can to get her elected.
No hangover from a bitter battle between Matt Hines and Ann Kirkpatrick for the Democratic nomination to Congressional District 2, right? Any hangover from that?
Apparently not. It really hasn't come up. Matt Hines, did some good service, but, I mean, at this point he's lost a couple of races, so as of right now he's kind of history.
That was such a bitter battle. I mean, there was some really nasty stuff thrown at each other, Hines and Kirkpatrick, that matter. But it doesn't matter now. It's on to the general with Ann Kirkpatrick.
That's right. And, of course, her opponent is Leah Marquez Peterson. We were just talking about her earlier. And I don't really get any kind of a feel for what the Peterson campaign is up to. They do hold a lot of secret meetings, John. For instance, did you know that Paul Ryan was in town?
He did sneak in the back door, didn't he?
Yeah, and yeah. Apparently it was a secret, no press invited kind of meeting. And I've got to tell you, it's the one distinguishing feature about the Republican campaigns here in Tucson is they're all secret. I went to campaign event for the Republicans, and it was called Meet the Candidates. And it was actually right near the radio station here on 44th Street. So I drove all the way down the road, and I get to this area where, the office buildings kind of stop, and it's all abandoned warehouses. And then, there's this little line of cars around some distillery or something.
You're creeping me out here a little bit.
But the point was, it was press invited. So I notified them that I would be coming. I got in line, and sure enough, they had a bouncer there.
Recognized you.
That's right. He recognized
There's that
me.
Damn Bodine.
Get him out of here.
put him in some kind of, basement or someplace.
I know. So they wouldn't let me in. And, the thing is, John, I have a network of volunteers who are willing to take my little digital tape recorder into Republican meetings. And it's been very effective. I mean, that's how we got Kelly Ward, word for word, when back in the day when she was running for office.
By the way, there's a couple of, I guess, commercials, you can call them if they are commercials at all, resurrecting the late Senator John McCain in form of a TV ad that recycles footage from McCain's 2016 campaign against Kirkpatrick, in which McCain says Kirkpatrick will not fight against higher taxes or more government spending. The McCain family said it's unfortunate the senator's image is being weaponized in this election season. They were very upset about that, and well, they should be. For goodness sake, he's just passed away. This great American, and now you're going to bring him back in television commercials to benefit, the campaign with Leah Marquez Peterson against Ann Kirkpatrick. Come on, really?
That was my thought. That's all you've got?
Bring out McCain? Yeah.
Yeah, bring out McCain from something he said years ago. It's really kind of sad. I'm just trying to think, what is Leah Marquez, what is the one thing that, she is remembered for and what she stands for? And, well, of course, she wants to cut the economy in half here and build a wall. But, I mean, besides that, she's basically known for filing bankruptcy and ditching out on $3.2 million in loans. So, you know, what does that tell you about the fiscal responsibility of that candidate?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this race unfolds toward the very end. We're going to have early balloting starting here in about 10 days. This thing's ready to get going here. I mean, you know, there is such a short period of time between the primary election, which is at the end of August, through the very beginning of October, when early balloting begins. It's one of the shortest in the country. You don't have much time. You get the nomination, you better be ready to go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the candidates that I know started campaigning a year ago because they realized that, you know, once the primary is over, you've got basically 6 weeks.
Not much time at all.
No, it's really short. You know, and, of course, there's another real interesting race, John, with Martha McSally versus Kyrsten Sinema. Same thing with a lot
for the
of
U.S. Senate.
Yes, yeah. For U.S. Senate in Arizona. Same thing. All we've seen is a lot of vacuous attack ads from Martha McSally. You know, depending on which poll you read, Sinema's either ahead by 7 points or it's a dead heat. You know, so I don't think the polls have turned out to be very useful in that race. But the one thing that's kind of come out about McSally is these attack ads that that she's been running have all been proven false by PolitiFact, by the Blog for Arizona, by the Arizona Republic. So the big one is that everybody remembers is Kyrsten Sinema wearing a pink tutu.
Yeah,
right, exactly. Right. Well, it was from 2003. She was a student. She was protesting war in general. But she didn't say anything disparaging about the troops. She comes from a military family. She's all for having a strong defense. So I think, you know, at this point, McSally is shooting, but she's shooting a lot of blanks.
All right. The other races, and we're talking about the House seat that, of course, Sinema had held and now still holds, for that matter, with Greg Stanton in the race, the mayor of Phoenix, running against Riley, who's you know, been around for Wendy Rogers, who's been around forever, keeps running and running and running. How do you see that race?
You know, that's one I really haven't followed closely, John. I'd have to defer to you.
Well, there's one thing about Wendy Rogers is that she has lost the last three races for Congress. So,
oh, well.
Yeah, so she's headed down that road, right, for number four, as it goes. All right, very quickly, before I let you go, the blue wave, is it really going to happen? I mean, is there a blue wave, and how big is the blue wave, do you think?
Well, we're hoping that there's a blue wave. You know, it all turns on whether the Democrats will actually come out and vote. You know, it looked like there was going to be a blue wave in 2016, but a lot of Democrats just stayed home, which is one of the things that makes me think there will be a blue wave is that the Democrats are focusing on what they call it's basically Democrats who did not vote in the 2014 midterms. And they're knocking on those doors. They're, you know, they've already hit all of the Democrats and let them know that, you know, Kyrsten Sinema and Ann Kirkpatrick are running. But it's the strategy and just the numbers. Every time I go to one of these Democratic get-out-the-vote events, it's just standing room only.
Let's talk a little bit about the governor's race with David Garcia matched against the incumbent governor, Doug Ducey. Ducey's going to have all the money he needs. He's going to have maybe $10 million. I mean, there's no amount of money that that he's going to need that he isn't going to get. And I think somebody said to me, if he doesn't have it, it's because he doesn't want it.
Yeah.
Does that put Garcia in really kind of a real uphill battle, doesn't it? I mean,
he's the underdog. You're accurate about that. You know, the polls say that about 13% of people are undecided. The last poll I saw on September 13 said Garcia was 1 point behind Ducey. Now, a lot can change. The thing that, by the way, we're going to have an exclusive interview with David Garcia on the Blog for Arizona, and you can look for that next Tuesday.
Great.
And I talked to David Gordon, who did the interview, and he told me that Garcia has, you know, 5,400 volunteers out there. And what he is counting on is turnout. He's doing everything he can to turn out the Democrats, turn out the independents, and if he gets the turnout, he thinks he can beat Ducey.
And I think that makes a huge difference in a lot of races across the state. I don't follow these the Senate races all over the state as closely as I should. You may follow them more closely than I do. Is there a chance the upper chamber can go to the Democratic Party in this so-called wave election, if there is such a thing? I don't think the House will, but I do believe that the Senate is possible. We've been talking about that happening for the last, I don't know how many cycles, at least four or five, so that would take us to 10 years back. Is it possible?
It is possible. It's possible that Kyrsten Sinema can get elected. There's also that really tight race in Texas between, you know, Ted Cruz, Mr. Right. Lack of Personality, and yeah. this really charismatic guy, Beto O'Rourke.
Yes, indeed.
You know, he's come out of nowhere and is, from what I understand, neck and neck. And you only need, you know, those two, well, you know, right there you've got the majority.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch this on election night, and we'll be doing election coverage. We don't have any official announcement, but we're going to be hearing a lot more from you on a regular basis, and we'll get to a public announcement on that soon. Let's talk about turnout very quickly. Got about 1 minute left to go here. Do you expect these Democrats to come out, and the Republicans are going to come out as well? I mean, this is going to be a fascinating race. I mean, we have the Kavanaugh sideshow and the other sideshows with Trump and everything, but the main event is this election on November 6th. That's going to determine everything, the fate of Trump, the fate of the nation, the fate of the world, more than likely. That is a big deal, a big darn deal. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
November 6th.
Absolutely. And the nation's eyes are on Arizona to find out who we elect to Congress, who we elect to U.S. Senate. And I'll just tell you one quick story. When I did some door knocking myself last Saturday, I went out in the heat. It was 101 degrees. And I knocked on the door of a guy who said, you know, I don't know how you got my name, but because I'm a Republican. So I said, well, here's some information about Ann Kirkpatrick and some information about Kyrsten Sinema. And he said, you know, I'm going to vote for these Democrats this time because we need a check on President Trump.
Wow. Amazing. Larry Bodine, thanks so much for being with us. It's great to talk with you. David Garcia blog is next Tuesday, right?
Yes. Yeah. Right, exclusive interview on the blog for Arizona.
All right. Larry Bodine has been my guest.